friends. Welcome back to Her Heart for His Glory podcast. We are so excited to be back with you guys. We have had the sweetest couple hours snuggling our little baby girl.
Yep. She's here. I've had her. She, as of now, when this is recorded, she's 3 weeks old. Her name is Gemma, and she is just the best thing in the world.
The sweetest little gift. Yes. Well, so today we are going to get to hear from Cross. Just all the things that the Lord has kind of done in her life, all the struggles that have happened, and just how she has processed through grief since losing Quincy. And we just know that there are so many people out there that have struggled with, I mean, we all struggle with grief, but specifically even this. Mm-hmm. And so our prayer is just that you would feel seen and just encouraged, and know that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to just share. Obviously, it's, well, in a little bit, about a month, it'll be a year since mm-hmm. we lost Quincy. So obviously I'm still stepping my foot in the water of grief, you know, like I haven't got anything figured out, but I'm excited to share what I have walked through and what I'm learning. And as I continue on the rest of my life, as I grieve losing my son and how things change, just to continue to share where I'm at. So,
yeah. And it is an honor to get to listen and walk through this season with you, even though it's so hard. Okay, well, let's just start off. Mm-hmm. So we've all heard what grief, I mean, you know, we've heard the word grief, but mm-hmm. when you hear the word grief, like, what do you think of? Like, what does that mean to you, Cross?
I would say before losing Quincy, I would think, I think I always thought grief specifically was like over death, like the death of a loved one. Before losing Quincy, I wouldn't say that I even experienced grief, to be honest. Like, I don't think, and maybe I did, and I can't recall, but not to the extent that I have, that I am now.
Right.
But yeah, before losing Quincy, I wouldn't say that I really even thought much about grieving, like what that one, that people are walking through grief. And then two, that like, how do you go about it? Like, how do you walk through grief? But now that grieving our son is the biggest part of my life, and will probably is going to be for the rest of my life. Now it's at like the forefront of my mind.
Yeah.
So, now I would say grief is just deep sorrow over, for me specifically, over losing my son.
Yeah. I think too, like a loss of something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like even I think loss of friendship or loss of relationship, I think about divorce, loss of a family unit.
Yeah.
Like I feel like there's a loss of something, no matter what that loss is, it looks very different. And we can grieve different things. But I mean, I feel like at the core, it's like a loss of something.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even I looked it up, just the actual definition of grief. And it says sorrow or anguish often stemming from loss, pain, or affliction. I mean, I think at the core of it is loss of something. And then, and just in my case, it's just the death of a child.
Yeah. So do you feel like you said before you haven't really walked through like deep grief. Now that you have, do you feel like you view grief differently, or like you view, like when you see other people and they're walking through something, like, do you feel something different inside?
I think I do. Mm-hmm. I think I feel like it's shown me that you don't really know what everyone's going through, obviously. Yeah. And I think I say that, we all know that, but I feel like even for myself, I mean, I hope I don't look so disheveled when you see me.
You do not.
But I would say that like,
she looks fabulous. Actually, I have to say, to have just had a baby 3 weeks ago, she looks incredible.
Well, thank you. But I would say for someone who doesn't know me, like, you know, seeing them at the store or whatever, I would hope that when they see me, the first thing they wouldn't think is like, oh, she's going through something, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but But the when you would get to know me, you would know that, like, actually this last year of my life has been the hardest year of my life. And I'm still for the rest of my life going to be grieving what we lost. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's given me more of a pause, I guess, mm-hmm. with meeting people and even assuming things about them. Honestly, I think it has given me more of a, like I said, a pause to be like, you don't really know what someone's going through until you get to know them.
That's so good. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like if anything, that's the biggest thing I think that it's shown me.
Yeah. I feel like being more present and intentional and like really seeing someone for who they are and like showing them Christ love.
Yeah.
Because you don't know.
Yeah.
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 That's good. Well, so we've heard about stages of grief. What would you say the stages of grief are? And like, how have you kind of progressed through that as since we've lost Quincy?
Yeah. So, I talked about them in my, like with my counselor, and then I looked them up too, to make sure I had it correct. So the stage to the, like, I guess set stages of grief are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. So those are like the stages. But for me, I wouldn't say that I've like necessarily stepping stone, like progressed from one stage to the next. I would say for me over this last almost year, I've kind of like ebbed and flowed through those. I would say that the most, like the stages, I guess I've sat in the most, I would say are anger and depression.
That's what I would say.
Yeah. I would say are anger and depression. Probably more anger.
Yeah.
I think that I don't know if that's just my personality of why that has felt like kind of the feeling, I guess, that I've felt the most, even just towards the Lord, it's just anger. But yeah, those are the two that I would say that I've spent the most time in.
So I think we talked about this on the emotional health podcast or when we're talking about the feelings. So when I went through the Voice of the Heart, that book, it talks about anger. Like, anger is the feeling that comes to the surface and it's like pointing back to something else. So it's because maybe we're disappointed or we're hurt that God has allowed this. Now we're angry about it. So I wonder, like, beneath there's other feelings. But, like, that's how it comes out.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure. I completely agree. But, yeah, so those are the stages. And, yeah, like I said, I haven't just, like, walked through them each. But I think I have ebbed and flowed. And I think I'll continue to ebb and flow through them.
Yeah.
I think depending on the season of life I'm in, or what's just happening around, I think will kind of determines, especially even with depression, like just these, I feel like I've had several like deep waves of just sadness that have washed over me for days or weeks at a time. Even when I feel like I'm like, there's been times I think I've told you or even told Andrew, like, I feel like I've not gotten past this, but like, I feel like I've moved on a little bit from this specific thing that's holding me back a little bit, and then but for some reason in a couple months it comes back again. And I think that that's just part of grief. I don't know if there will ever feel a point that I feel like I've arrived or that I've like gotten over something. I think as time goes on and we move further away from when we lost Quincy, I think it will become a little bit easier to like walk through, and maybe the waves of depression won't be so long. Maybe it's just in a moment, something triggers something, but I'm okay to go the rest of the day, you know? But I think for now, right now, it's just been, you know, a few days or weeks out of time that I've sat in some of these stages.
Yeah.
So
I think that's a reminder too of like the brokenness in this world. Like, because there's so much brokenness, we will never arrive until we meet Jesus face to face.
Yeah.
You know? And so there's always going to be like, there's this spot in her heart, you know, that like longs for a day that's no longer the case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I know you said that it's kind of fluctuated and went back and forth, but do you feel like you have gotten to the point of acceptance, or like, when did you first feel that? And like, how was that kind of different? Also, I'm giving her all these questions we didn't talk about beforehand.
That is true. Hey, I love it. I would say that I have already had acceptance. I feel like even in the hospital, like after having him, I think I had already accepted. Now as far as like having peace over that, I think that that might have taken a little bit. Mm, yeah. But I think I had already accepted. I think I had already gone through accepting that we had lost our son. And especially with, I'm not going to go into all the details of what happened, but if you know anyone who has either gone through a miscarriage and had to have like the DNC procedure, or if you know someone that has had a stillbirth, just the trauma of like, if I'm to be blunt, like the trauma of birthing a dead baby is with like, I don't know if there's ever words to really describe that. And I feel like if anything, I will probably be processing through and healing through that for years to come, is truly traumatic. But if anything after that and having him and holding him, if anything pushes you to acceptance of like, he's just not here. And I'm holding him, but he's not here. And so, yeah, I would say that I would say that I accepted that even in the hospital when we were still there. Yeah.
So then what about denial? Like, do you feel like you experienced that?
Yeah.
And you can correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like there was a point, like more recently, than you were like, okay, like I've come to a little bit more of a, I guess, understanding.
Yes.
Maybe, I don't know, I guess maybe that's a little bit more like further past acceptance, you know?
Yes.
You, tell me what you think.
Yeah, I think so. Denial. I wouldn't say that I was ever in a point that like, whenever we found out Quincy no longer had a heartbeat, I don't think I was ever like at a point that I deny that that wasn't true, if that makes sense. Like, I think, I mean, not only did my doctor, she told us, but then we saw it on the ultrasound. And so I don't think I ever deny that that wasn't true. I don't know in what ways denial has manifested itself. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question, Lacey.
So, okay, so I just looked this up. So it says, and you know, it's Google, so take it or leave it. But it says, denial is a psychological defense mechanism where a person refuses to acknowledge a painful reality. And then this one says, it's a way to protect oneself from the initial shock and pain of the loss. While it can be a normal part of the grieving process, persistent denial can be detrimental. Which is so interesting because we've talked about this so much. I think if we stay in a, let's see. I just feel like you and Andrew have grieved so well.
Well, thanks.
And so from the beginning, like it's been like, okay, this is reality.
Yeah, I would say I don't feel like either one of us really sat in.
No, and there's been no denial. Suppression.
I don't
like.
Think
I
we...
think that's what it can look like playing out over long term. Is like, let's suppress this and not talk about it. Like from day one, literally when I came over and we had dinner, like we were talking about what happened.
Yes.
And it was 2 days. Well, maybe 4 days later.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I don't know if I don't feel like that's been a major part of grieving for me. But I can see where for some people that it would be. I think if anything, how for me sitting in anger has been more prominent and like for me grieving, I can see how denial is more prominent for some people because it's easier that way. It's easier to not accept and to not accept that
and
this
to
has
work,
happened.
Deal with the emotions that come with it.
And same with anger. Like you said, anger is almost like a mask for something deeper.
Yes.
So for me, sitting in anger feels a little bit more comforting than to like really dig deep and real and like find out, okay, anger is what's displaying, but like what's underneath that,
yeah,
you know?
That's so good. And I just wonder like, okay, without knowing Jesus, do the grief stages look different?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because like he's the one who heals. So how can we even heal through something
without knowing him?
Yeah. And again, not that healing means we're not dealing with grief anymore.
Yes.
You know, but it's like being aware and like acknowledging all the things. Like I feel like that's almost not even possible unless you have the Spirit of the Lord in you.
Yeah. Well, it's like I feel like it make you stuck a little bit.
Yeah. And like having to face the reality without having a hope in the Lord. Like, I don't even know how that'd be possible.
It'd be hard.
Yeah. So I know that I have said, I feel like you guys have grieved well. Like, I feel like I've gotten to see that firsthand. would you say, like, do you think that you've grieved well? And if so, like, what has that looked like?
It's weird. I don't know. I don't know if I would say that I've grieved well. I think also because I, even though I've like tried to, you know, I've tried to go to the Lord and I've tried to, I've like tried to acknowledge my feelings and not suppress them and bring them to the Lord. But I also know like my inner thoughts and that I don't really share with anyone. So that's where I'm like, maybe I don't know if I've grieved well, but I will say I do think Andrew and I have been so blessed by the prayers of others that have carried us through our grief. I definitely think that where we are now, almost being a year from having Quincy and losing him, I can only attribute to the Lord and then the prayers of other people over us. I definitely think for us, if anything, I mean, we were kind of running, at least for me, I can speak for me, was kind of running away from the Lord for a while. And so I would say that it was only, is only from the prayers of other people that have allowed us to, I guess, to grieve well. I will say that Andrew and I are both more, I would say, emotionally in tune people in the first place. Like, I think that's our personalities anyways. And so I think that that has allowed us to both like identify how we're feeling and being a little bit more open with that instead of suppressing. I do think that that's one area that we have done a little bit better with. And then especially with me, I've been in counseling and that's helped as well. So I think that those things have helped us grieve well. But
well, and so I want to like, I think of this. When we say grieving well, like, it doesn't mean you're not angry.
Yes.
Because first off, I'm sorry, but when hard things happen, like, they're hard. And you're going to have all the emotions and all the feelings with that. So first, like, because you said your inner thoughts. Like, the thing is, God sent his son to die for us knowing those inner thoughts a long time ago. You know? And, like, we are fleshly. And we're going to have those. But it's like, what do we do with those?
Yes.
And sometimes I think back about hard times. It's like sometimes in our life, like we are doing the best that we know how. And like God does not ask us to come and show up with all these things. Like he doesn't ask us to have it figured out. He literally asks us to come to him with whatever it is we're feeling. And that's what we have to do. So like it doesn't mean like grieving well doesn't mean, oh, you've healed. You've moved on past it. You're joyful, you know, like that's not like it's you're joyful amidst the sadness.
And I think it's just like what we've talked about, like not suppressing and not isolating. Like I think that that can be so easy to do, especially with, I think specifically with what we're walking through. Not, there is such a unique experience. Like there is only a handful of people in this world that can even relate to that have lost a child. There's not many people that can say that they've lost a child. So not only is that something that's not a universal experience, but there's not many people around us that we can that can relate to us, you know? So it would have been easy to just suppress it and to isolate because I mean, even like our closest friends, our family, I mean, you can't relate to what we're going through. And so it would be easy to isolate from everyone. But I would say that that, if anything, I guess that's a marker maybe of grieving well is seeking, is still seeking community.
I agree.
And still seeking to be around others and allowing others to be around you in the midst of your grief. And it's not saying that them being around means that they're fixing things or anything. It's literally just sitting with you in it. That's it. And I think that I have been so blessed that my friends have done that with me. You being one of them, but just, I've just had some amazing friends that I can share with what I'm feeling, what I'm going through. And all you can say is, I'm sorry. And that's enough for me. Like you're sitting in it with me and you're saying, I'm sorry that, that this is happening. I'm sorry that you feel that way. And I'm going to pray for that. And that's it, you know?
And too, just even like, at a confession, like, to sit with someone in hard is hard.
Oh, I bet.
And, like, myself is, like, I know how to, you know, like, you think you know what they need mm-hmm. or, and it's, like, no, like, only God knows. Mm-hmm. And so I remember, I guess I was reading through Job at the beginning of the year, and, you know, Job's friends sit with him in the silence mm-hmm. for, like, a couple days, but then they just start blasting him with, like, all these things that they think are right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, they literally just needed to sit in the silence.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just encourage you, and I know we're going to have a whole other episode on this, but this just thought, like, came to mind. Like, before saying things, like, take it to the Lord first
mm-hmm.
and, like, really, I guess, ponder it. Because what we think in our own fleshly, sinful beings, like, what we think people need to hear, like, may not be at all what they need mm-hmm. to hear. Like, they literally might just need you to sit in it with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, you know me and my personality. Mm-hmm. Like, I try to fix all the things, and it can just be very hard. But that's something I've even tried to walk in through this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, like, not being isolated. But then also, if you're on the other if it's not you and it's someone else, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean we have to say something all the time. And, mm-hmm. like, there has to be something that we have an answer to.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. One time a lady said, so I was like, okay, so should I tell them this is what I think? And she was like, well, did they ask for your advice? We've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, like, they didn't. And she said, okay, then don't give your advice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think there's a fine line. Like, the Lord calls us to speak grace and truth.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, in something as sensitive as this mm-hmm. and, like, as vulnerable as this, like, we just have to be very mindful of that and mm-hmm. like, walk in the Spirit in that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Because sometimes it's like, yes, maybe it's true, but, like, is that going to push us closer to the mm-hmm. Lord or push us further away?
Yeah. Yep, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we obviously know that there's been so many hard things that just, like, you've had to walk through and wrestle with.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to share some of those things that you've kind of wrestled with over the course of the past 10, 11 months or so?
Yeah. Yeah, I can share. Yeah, I feel like that the word wrestling, mm-hmm. I feel like that is with grief
mm-hmm.
is the really the word that I can use to describe these last 11 months. Yeah, just wrestling a lot with my faith. And I think I've shared this in our, like, Welcome Back podcast
that we did
a few episodes ago, that for me, it was never... But, like, never, ever, like, wrestling with my faith in the gospel.
Right.
That was never the case for me. I think it was wrestling with my faith in God's character, that the in aspects, like, his attributes that I struggled with. And specifically for me, has been his goodness.
Yeah.
I think, and maybe even faithfulness too.
Mm.
But the main one is goodness. I think, after losing Quincy, I know that I've seen the Lord's goodness in my life. And even the fact that I've got pregnant with him and got to carry him for almost 9 months, you know, for 32 weeks was good. But I think after losing him and just not understanding why that had to happen, I think I just immediately begin to spiral into the Lord's not good.
Mm.
And because he took away my son, he's not good. Or at least he's not good to me anymore.
Oh, right. Which is a common thing that we believe.
Yeah.
So, like, he's good to all these other people, but me, no.
Yes.
Or, like, he doesn't want to give me good gifts.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that is one area. And I feel like I'm still kind of wrestling through that. Mm. That, like, and his faithfulness, even, like, literally just, like, a week or two ago at our church sang the song, Promises.
Mm.
If you know that, I know, Lacey, you know that song, but
yeah.
If you know that song, and one of the main lyrics is, great is your faithfulness to me. And even just, like, being at church and them singing that song, like, I felt like I couldn't even sing it, because I feel like right now I don't believe that, which is so hard because I know that that's not true. And I think that that's something that's part of the wrestling that's been really, really hard for me. is because in my head, I know all of these things. Like, I know that mm-hmm. the Lord's good. I know that he's faithful. And I know that I've experienced those things in my life. Mm-hmm. But I guess because of everything with losing our son, it just feels, everything feels so clouded that in my heart now, it's like, do I believe that he's good? And do I believe that he's faithful? And then also with all of that, it's like, how do I reconcile his goodness and faithfulness and his sovereignty? I think that's been one of the biggest things for me is wrestling with the why. Like, why did this have to happen? Why did Quincy have to die? And kind of almost separating the Lord from my circumstances.
Yeah.
So like literally, actually, I'll read what I wrote. I was journaling literally 2 days ago. I was journaling. I was reading through the Psalms and I wrote down, I said, when God is sovereign, how do I separate that from my circumstances? How do I not look to him as the one that I blame? So that, I mean, for me, that's what it's been is, I know that he's good and I know that he's faithful, but I also know that he's sovereign and he is in control. But if he is sovereign, then why did he allow this to happen? So that's kind of been my thought process through these 11 months that I've been wrestling with. And to be honest, I still don't feel like I have a peace over that. And I think that that's one thing that I, over time, hope that I will have peace of not having an answer to that. We're not guaranteed or promised an answer to that, you know, while we're on this earth. I don't know if I'll ever know why this had to happen. And I think just over time, I hope that I have peace over not knowing why.
And we know one day you will when you're with Jesus.
Yes.
You know, it makes me think so. We're doing a First Peter study with my church. It's a women's study. And it's in chapter 1. It's talking about our salvation and what we get through Christ. So we're born again. We have his great mercy. We have an inheritance. And then it talks about that we have trials. So it says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's like our suffering is so minute. Is that the word?
Yeah.
Minute? Yeah. Not because it's not hard here, but because one day when we see Jesus, he is so glorious.
Yes.
And like his glory will be revealed.
Yeah.
So it's like in the midst of thinking like, okay, no, we may never have an answer here. And we may never even have like complete peace of that here. Mm-hmm. Like one day we will.
Yes. Yeah. 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 No, yeah. That's true.
Well, yeah. So like, I know it's not been a year yet quite, but what reconciliation has there been like through all of this wrestling? So, you know, like has there been any and what has been there?
Yeah, I feel like there has been, which is still, I think it's such a grace from the Lord that I've been able to reconcile some things. I think the biggest thing for me is being so, I feel like now I'm a lot more heaven-minded. I think before losing Quincy, honestly, I think the thought of death scared me and I wouldn't think about it. Like I just wouldn't really sit in it much and think about, you know, dying and think about heaven.
Wow.
But now I feel like I think about it often. I think a lot about, like, I wonder, one of just, like, I can't wait to one day be in heaven and not only to see the Lord and be reunited with him, but to also be reunited with my son. And that I have a little visitor just there, you know, waiting to greet me and show me to the Lord. And so that's something that's really sweet that I think about. And it's even funny, my mother-in-law, not too long after losing Quincy, and we just know that he's in heaven and we're just waiting to see him. Yes. And she was just like, okay, it's a race. Like, it's a race to see him. And so now, and it's true. I mean, we're all just so ready that one day we're going to see Quincy's little face mm-hmm. up there, and
yes.
he's going to show us to our Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so excited for that day. And I don't think before losing him that I would have ever said that. Like, I think before, like I said, thinking of dying scared me. Mm-hmm. And I think now that I don't feel that way at all. I feel like I know that my life here is so fleeting.
Like, almost the hope and excitement that wasn't there is now there.
Yes. Because yeah. of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so, as much as I still long to bring the Lord glory here mm-hmm. while yeah. I'm on the earth, I can't wait for the day that I go to heaven and I get to see Jesus face to face, and I get to be reunited with my son. So yeah. I think that that is something that has been, like you said, like a hope and an excitement mm-hmm. that wasn't there. That's been, that has now been instilled in me. And so that's definitely one area.
I love that. Yeah. Well, and I think too that, I mean, like with any trials, like we are reminded of like how broken this is. And like, mm-hmm. we are just like awaken to like the need for our Lord.
Yeah.
Because it is so hard here. And mm-hmm. like, this is our temporary home.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I feel like that even in my life, different things, you know, like mm-hmm. awakens you when you go through hard things. Like, you know, we know that the Lord works good for all things. Like mm-hmm. even when we can't see it, but it's like, man, like being reminded that our hope is in Him mm-hmm. because this world doesn't satisfy. It's like so good.
Yes.
Because how often can we look to the things here to satisfy mm-hmm. us, you know?
Yeah. And I think that that's another, like, part of the reconciliation and the wrestling that I've dealt with, like, that I feel like I've gotten is that, is realizing, one, how broken this world is and how broken I am. Mm-hmm. I think through this process of grief that I will continue to walk on, that I have realized just how broken I am.
Yeah.
And even what we were talking about earlier about like going through something like this and not having the Lord. And I even though that there's moments that I feel like I've, you know, kind of ran away, I just can't imagine going through something like mm-hmm. this and not having the Lord. If anything, going through this has amplified my brokenness.
Yeah. And your need for Him.
Yes. And yeah. it is just kind of put more of an anchor into the gospel for me, and my hope for heaven, my hope yeah. for Christ. And so I think that that is just the realization of this world mm-hmm. and my sin nature and everything.
Yeah. Like, this is not our home.
Yes. Yeah.
We are temporarily passing through.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the last thing that I feel like that I have, feel like you always hear maybe in church, and is like, you know, take it to the Lord. But that has never been more true for me mm-hmm. than going through grief. Especially, like I said earlier, that a lot of the thoughts that I actually don't mention to people. Mm-hmm. And just sitting in them and realizing how ugly they are. Mm-hmm. But still taking them to the Lord.
Yeah, because the thing is, He already knows.
Yes.
Like, He knows them before mm-hmm. we even think of them.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like we have to acknowledge them and bring them to the Lord, because yes. if we're not taking them to the Lord, yes, He knows them, but like, we're not letting Him in that space and allowing Him to do with them what only He can.
Yes. And I think for me, like what I mentioned earlier about kind of like the separation between like my heart and my mind of even having to write it down or tell the Lord out loud, like saying like, Lord, I know in my head, I know that this isn't true. Like, yeah, I know that You're good. And whatever thoughts it was that were, you know, running through my mind of saying, like, I know that that's not true, but right now my heart doesn't believe it and I need Your help. Like, yeah. And it's only through Your power and Your Spirit within me that I can believe it in my heart. So, like, please help me to believe that You're good, or help that's me so to good. Believe. Like, even for me, going through pregnancy again, especially being so close. I mean, basically they were what they call Irish twins. And so they were so close. An age, and it was so unexpected. And so going through pregnancy again so soon after losing Quincy, it was a daily struggle of not believing that, like, I think it was easy to believe the lie that God is going to take her from me. Mm. Like that, I think that was what I believed and what I was trying to wrestle through. And even the song, I think it's called Good Plans.
Mm.
Like he has good plans. Yes. It's basically based from the 23rd Psalm and reminding myself that like, I know that this is a lie, but for some reason, this is what I'm believing.
Mm.
And Lord, I know that you have good plans for me, and I know that you have good plans for my daughter and for my husband. And so I just need you to help me to believe that today, so like good. Even just today. And so that was, I mean, on my commute to work, that was what my commute looked like a lot of times, or even just crying and not even being able to say the words out loud, but saying them in my head to the Lord of, you know, please help me to believe your truth. Was a lot of times what it looked like. So
that's so good.
I feel like that those are things that I've always heard before, but it wasn't until being in the lies being so heavy, I think is when I really had that became practical. Like it was no longer just you hear, take it to the Lord, but that it became practical of like, no, this is the only way out of this is to ask the Lord for help.
And living
because,
it out.
Yes, is because I'm believing these lies that I know are not true.
Mm.
And the only way that I can, the only way that I can continue through today is for the Lord to help me. Mm. And so asking him for help. So.
Yeah. And it just makes me think, so we know like it is not flesh and blood here. Like
yes.
It is literally forces, evil forces, like a whole spiritual realm that's like going on right now. And I have been reminded of this a lot. You know, we think about like Ephesians 6 and spirit, like the armor of God and like to put that on when spiritual warfare comes.
Mm-hmm.
Like the enemy is going to use every single thing that he can. And of course he would use this situation to try to make you believe what is not true of the Lord.
Yeah.
And like the only offensive weapon we have is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is the only way offensively we fight the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, we have to have, like, the word of God and, like, say that back.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be a one-sided conversation.
Yeah.
You know? And just like you did, like, you said, I'm believing this, Lord, but I know this isn't true. Mm-hmm. Like, what is true is this.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's so crucial because that is, like, our only way we can fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, that is our weapon.
Yeah.
And it's crucial to stand on that even when we feel like it's not true.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. Those have been some of the things. And I'm sure, I'm sure that there's other things I'm not even thinking of.
Well, I'm thinking of one. So, and yeah. I would just say, like, I mean, Cross, like, did not, like, I remember her saying, and first off, she was real with me. Like, hey, like, I just don't want to go to the word right now. Like, I just don't want to read. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I can't. Like, I just don't have a desire to. And, like, that, I feel like that is so normal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you can correct me if I'm wrong because not married here. But, like, sometimes you don't want to love Andrew, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you get frustrated. Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, well, also, well, I'm not even there, so I can't speak to that. But I get frustrated sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh,
girl, you just wait.
But I just lost my train of thought what I was even saying. It's like we have – what was I even saying?
You were talking about not wanting to read.
Oh, yes. Okay. Thanks for that. So it's like – Cross was like real with that and like shared that with me. And she could have not shared that with me. Like she could have even put on a facade, you know, but instead like she shared that with me. And so like I've been praying for that. And so many other people like have been praying for that.
Yeah.
It's like stir her affections for you. Mm-hmm. Like awaken her desire to want to spend time on your word.
Yeah.
And like right before we started this podcast, like she just had so much joy and was like showing me this devotional that she's about to start. And, like, that's reconciliation, you know, of, like, the Lord's work and what he does. Because, like, a month ago, you were not excited to get in the Word.
Mm-hmm. That is very true.
Like, I remember you saying, like, I want to. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to have that desire, but, like, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And now you do. Like, and you're so excited about it.
Yeah.
So, like, that is the Lord. And I think, like, if you would not have, like, you sharing that with me was, like, you acknowledging, hey, I don't like that this is what it is, but this is what it is, and I'm being real with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I want differently.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I feel like what could you have missed out on if you would not have shared that?
Yeah.
And been real with the Lord about that, but also been real with your friends about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're true. You're, that's very true. That's very true.
Man, so good. Life is so hard, but like, what, like, if we don't invite the Lord in into grief, like, we forfeit so many things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so many things that only the Lord can do. Like, mm-hmm. we miss out on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And while there's been so much hard, and, like, I don't even understand the full extent of it, like, God and His presence in it has been so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, anything else you want to share?
I guess I have a few tips of encouragement, I guess.
Okay, yeah. So, what would you tell someone maybe who is walking through a period of grief, maybe similar or completely different?
I would say the first thing is to be honest, like what we just talked about, being honest about where you're at.
That's good.
I think it is so easy. It is easy to suppress.
And then be in denial, right?
It's easier than you think it is. Yeah. So I would say the first thing is just to be honest with yourself. And if you have, hopefully you have a support system around you, is to be honest with those around you about where you're at, what you're needing, how you need them to be there for you or whatever. You know, I just think being honest with your feelings and not suppressing them, because that then, then you go into the denial. So I think being honest. And then telling the Lord where you're at. I think also for me, a lot of my capacity changed. And I think learning to be okay with that. So for me, grieving took up so much of my emotional and then mental capacity. And so even being a part of other studies or anything like I realized, and I was in tune with myself, that I didn't have the capacity. I just didn't have the capacity, and that's okay. I realized so much of my emotional state was taken up, and it took out so much energy so that I couldn't be involved in other things, and that's okay.
That is so good because, like, how often, I'll have to say, I've done this in my life, but especially before I, like, really knew Jesus. Like, how many of us and how often, like, do we try to fill our schedule to distract us?
Yeah.
And, like, okay, let me do all these things so I don't have to think about it. But you literally did the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Like, no, I need to grieve this well and, like, walk through this right now for healing. And so that means I need to say no to other things.
Yeah.
What a testament of the Lord. Praise God.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, we try to fill ourselves, busy ourselves so we cannot think about it.
Yeah.
So we can distract.
Yeah.
That's so good.
So I think, just realizing that. I think for Andrew and I both, like, it kind of looked like we stepped away from small group.
Yeah.
We were both in small group. We stepped away from our couple small group. I was no longer in a women's study.
Well, and you were, and then you stepped out of
I was, and then I stepped away from it. And downline, there's some of the expectations, yes, that they kind of want you to do outside of the actual class time. And for me, I modified those things and it looked a little bit different for me. And I just realized that my capacity to even just emotionally engage with other people was just so different, and that was okay. Like, I just didn't have the capacity, for that. And even now, I'm slowly just now getting out of that. I feel like I'm just now getting to a point that I feel like, okay, I can maybe be involved in, like, even Holly, she was saying, doing another study and whatever. Like, I'm just now getting to that point, and it's been almost a year. So I think that the biggest thing, which maybe we'll talk about on the next episode when I have my husband with me, but one thing is relationships change. I think that that's an aspect that's honestly really sad that I did not anticipate with grieving, especially with something so heavy, is you realize how much there's so many people that don't even know how to approach you anymore. Like, they don't even know, they don't know whether to say something or not to say something. So sometimes they just don't say anything. And then it's been months and you're not, and they're not even in your life anymore. And so I think preparing yourself for that, or just not being surprised if that happens. And realizing that it's not your fault. That's, and really that it's not theirs. I think if the roles were reversed and, you know, we weren't the ones going through this and someone else was, that maybe I'd be the same. Like, I wouldn't know, mm-hmm. like, okay, do I still say something? Do I not? Do they want me to act like that didn't happen? Do, you know, like, I don't know.
And only as your friend, like, so, I mean, it's just so hard to navigate yes. through. Like,
and even my closest goodness. Friends, for the most part, y'all have been in tuned with me. But even there's been times I think you asked me, like, I don't, like, do you want to talk about, like, you know, yeah. like, you didn't even know.
No.
But that's what I needed. Like, I needed you to ask. But for the people that are more on your outskirts, mm-hmm. that aren't in your core group, they don't know that. They don't that's know right. you well enough yeah. to know what to say, what not to mm-hmm. say. And then eventually things just change. Mm-hmm. And so that was an aspect of walking through grief and death that I just was not prepared for. That has just, it's been okay. You know, mm-hmm. like that just has been what it's been, and it's okay.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I would encourage you, is not to let that kind of take you down a little bit, because yeah. it can be a little, it can catch you off guard and be kind of disheartening.
It may even make you feel isolated in some sense.
Mm-hmm, yes.
You know?
But just realize that I think your core people, they will mm-hmm. know yeah, what you too. Need. But the people on your outskirts, don't be surprised mm-hmm. if they don't know how to interact with you or know what to say. And I feel like the last two things are finding scripture that voices mm. how you're feeling.
Oh, good.
For me, that was the Psalms.
Yes,
I think the Psalms give exact verbiage to how I'm feeling, so that when I'm reading it, I can pray it back to the Lord.
So
and so I think that, and then the last thing is seeking professional help. I realized kind of early on that I was ready.
For month one.
Yeah, that I knew I needed counseling. And so I started that kind of early. And so I think that that was extremely helpful.
Mm.
And even after I found out I was pregnant again and walking through pregnancy with Gemma, it was so beneficial to have more of a professional help. Of course, I still had my friends and family, but someone more objective to help me through all the questions and thoughts and feelings that I was having over just being pregnant again and all of those things. So I think, I don't know if some people have like a stigma over counseling, but I think that that is something to pray about. And I think just to think about is seeking professional help, to help you grieve.
Yeah. And like, we know God is the wonderful counselor and he's a great physician, but like, he also gives us things to walk through things.
Yes.
And like, counseling is a gift, and he gifts other people in ways that we don't have.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need someone else to step in that with us, step into that with us.
Yeah.
So
those are all the encouragements I would have. The biggest thing is just to not isolate. It's so easy to, but I think, you know, trying to like be around those who love you. For me and Andrew, we are a part of a grief support group that is specifically for infant loss and stillbirth and miscarriage. So if there's something like that, you know, just finding ways to be known in the midst of your grief.
That's so good.
So
yeah, good.
Yeah.
I literally just remembered that Gemma is not in your belly anymore. She's literally going to be out here and we're going to get
her. Yeah, she's with my husband right now.
Oh, that's so good. So good. Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that. That was just so good.
Yeah.
And I just love you so much.
Yeah.
And we just hope that this is encouraging and that the Lord just uses it to speak to your heart and that you feel so seen and heard.
Yeah.
And stay tuned, because in a couple weeks you'll get to hear about more stuff.
Yeah.
With the grief.
Yeah. We love y'all. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.